Today I'm going to start introduce the topic with a general description of types of hunting with dogs, the breeds that are used for them, and the functions that those breeds serve. I'll go into why this topic is controversial in the public, starting with arguments for hunting with dogs, which will pretty much center around the tradition associated with it, as well as the implications that it may have for harvest. I'll then go into the arguments which center on the a handful of other topics which are relevant. I'll then go to the current issues that are in recent legislation across the country and finish with hunting in the United States. To begin, domestic dogs came about roughly 14,000 years ago from wild canids. Currently, we have over 800 breeds. And, initial domestication was domestic dogs were used to aid in protection and various hunting tasks. I'm going to briefly describe different ways of hunting with dogs. I'm going to try and talk about the least controversial. One of the simplest ways of hunting with a dog is for waterfowl. Frequently, dogs are used hunting. The function dogs serve is pretty much limited to retrieving game that the hunter has taken. Next, I've got upland birds. Grouse, quail, and pheasant are pretty common examples of this. Breeds that are used are pointers, retrievers, and spaniels. The role these dogs play is slightly more involved. They often use for their sense of smell to actually locate and flush the game, in addition to retrieving. Next, I've got rabbits. A beagle has a very keen nose. It's used to game and open on the track, which means it's constantly as it smells the rabbit. And this allows the hunter to position himself to get a shot at the game. Fife and Kurt. Popular squirrel dog breeds, fairly similar. They also hunt by sight in addition to smell, but they're tree-oriented dogs, which means they pursue the game till it seeks refuge in a tree. They bark at the base of the tree till the hunter can catch up. Next, I've got medium game. Raccoon and bobcat are pretty good examples of this. Common breeds are curs again and larger hounds like walkers. These dogs are very similar to the basic function of squirrel dogs. It's a following by scent, pursuing it to the point that the animal is pressured enough that it climbs a tree to get away, and then the dogs bark treed until the hunter can arrive. A different type of medium game with a different function of the dog, coyote, which these animals almost never tree. Typically it's done with a larger pack of dogs. Foxhounds and large hounds commonly use a large pack of dogs to pursue the game by scent or sight. One reason that coyotes and foxes are often more considered controversial with the public is typically, or more frequently, the pack will catch the animal instead of the hunter himself. Large game commonly pursued with dogs are deer and feral pigs. Some of the breeds used are larger hounds like walkers or black and tans. For pigs, you typically have two different kinds of dogs that can be used. You have trailing dogs as well as catch dogs. Some breeds like Catahoulas are used for both. And by catch, typically you use a catch dog to physically hold the pig. And that's usually done by holding the ears or the snout. But trailing is the same as with most of these types of hunts. And finally, I've got lions and bears. These types of game are commonly pursued with hounds. Plot hounds and blue ticks are commonly used, as well as walkers and black and tan. And this is a larger scale hunt when compared to a raccoon or a bobcat. These animals both have climbing instinct, usually the habitat is different, but the principle is the same. It's a pursue by scent until there's enough pressure put on the animal that it is freed. Arguments for hunting with dogs, like I said, focused around the tradition of it. This tradition is heavily rural, and as the population of this country becomes increasingly urban, this tradition seems to be less and less a part of public opinion. But actually, hunting with hounds, you know, came about because it was harvest. There's a variety of these animals that I've described. Without not a very effective way. The implication can have for harvest and therefore management. In the examples of deer and pigs, using dogs can increase your harvest. Deer hunting with dogs is not something that's very prevalent in this state, but if you look at it on regions, you can find areas where it's very popular, specifically coastal regions of the southeast, which can be typically very dense swamp habitat, which is inaccessible to a lot of hunting techniques. Dogs are frequently used there. Pigs especially is really limiting pig populations is best done with hogs. There's several examples of this where wildlife agencies have attempted to eradicate populations of invasive pig species, whether on islands or other situations. Hogs often and success. As it applies to lions and bears, it increases the selectivity hunter. The two papers that I've included in your handouts, and I'm sorry if not all of y'all got those, indicate that the use of hounds has the ability to skew your harvest. Often with hounds and black bears, use of hounds will bias your harvest toward males out of the population, as well as toward an older age class of animals harvested. And that is because of the close proximity that the use of hounds gives the hunter to the prey. When a bear or lion is treated, pretty common that you can actually identify the sex before you harvest the animal, and it allows the hunter to be more selective and pass on animals that are not considered trophy or desirable and run the dog for a separate animal. Arguments against are pretty simple. It's an increased stress on the animal. It's pretty hard to argue against that. Obviously, being pursued by a predator is stressful for all animals. The paper that I've included is measures the stress in an adrenal response test among lions. A lot of places where dog hunting is allowed, there's also specific seasons outside the hunting season for training, which a hunter can take and run dogs for game species, but there's no harvest, no firearms are allowed. Training new dogs and keeping a pack in shape. This study focused on what impact that had on the game species, and they collared a bunch of lions in a training season. They divided their group into a treatment and a control. The control was left alone, and they're recaptured at the end of the season to see. And the treatment was captured, collared, but run regularly throughout the training season and recaptured again. And they found that the animals that had been run 6 to 7 times a season were exhibiting a lower adrenal response, indicating that the stress of running does have physiological effects. The study did not really have any way of determining how detrimental those effects were, but there was a significant effect of being run. The main argument against hounds is considered unethical. On that side of the line, arguments are that it's not sporting. Some of this may be misconception. There's not a lot of data on it. There is some data included in the handouts on that I've given you on the black bears. And right, that argument really comes down to personal opinion, what one would consider sporting and not. You know, I guess you could put it down to a probability of harvest, you know, how likely if you go out with dogs are you to actually harvest an animal. And the studies that have given y'all range from a 5% likelihood of harvest to a 20% on the high end. Also, your typical anti-hunting animal rights, and this would go more into arguments against hunting, not specifically hunting with hounds or dogs. But as far as your animal rights, I could understand how somebody on that side of the line would be even more upset by this, because not only are you harvesting a wild animal, you're using a domestic animal for the purpose of it. Other arguments against hunting with dogs, which seem insignificant but have a lot of real-world implications, is private property. Hounds have absolutely no respect for property boundaries, especially when you use the larger hounds. They have the tendency to cover a lot of area, and as large tracts of public land become harder to come by, especially here in the East, this is a significant issue, and it comes down to local laws as well as public opinion. A lot of times there's legislation that's enacted that if a hunter turns out dogs on his land but they leave the property, he has to catch them on another individual's property. You know, there's a lot of issues with trespassing, whether he has the right to retrieve his dogs, whether they have the right to kill his dogs on their property. And this can become a very heated issue, even with people who don't particularly have a vested interest for or against hunting with dogs, but are more minded toward their private property rights. Also, unfortunately, hunters are a very heterogeneous group. It's not as simple as saying hunters are for hunting with dogs. You have various factions. A good example of this is the still hunter. This particularly applies to deer hunting. Like I said, regionally, deer hunting with dogs is common in certain areas, but wide, it's definitely a minority. And you have user conflict. A really study to the overview of how this can happen is cited at the end of the handout I've given you. It's basically the Michigan Department of Natural Resources surveyed bear hunters as a whole, and there's various types of bear hunting. Hunting of bait, still hunting, stuff. To get opinions about the other groups and effectiveness of hunting techniques. And what it shows is everybody's got an opinion about how things should be run, and it makes management, especially from a state agency perspective, very difficult trying to balance all of these. But still hunting or alternative hunting techniques can also be seen as against hunting with dogs. But a lot of this comes down to the individual and what opinions they have, ethical still hunting, deer hunting, that consider deer with dogs to be unethical. But a lot of that comes down to what the individual is familiar with. Current issues in today's legislation, a lot of laws are being enacted about animal rights. One aspect of hunting with dogs that is potentially going to be affected by this are practices like field trials. For most breeds of dogs, they're in purpose. These breeds have patients which like to have contests, whether it's dogs doing a herding field trial, times about how it can control sheep, or in this situation, this is a hog dog trial. And this, it's pretty much like a dog rodeo. You've got a dog who has there's a setup system for scoring. This dog will accomplish the most points by how quickly it can catch up with this hog and how quickly it can keep it in one area, which basically it's going to sit there, and every time the hog tries to move, he's going to have an escape. A lot of groups see this as unethical, and this is done for most breeders, how well they can retrieve decoys in swamp. There's a variety of, basically test the talent of the dog for it and the purpose. Also, there's legislation regarding the breeding of animals. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with the term puppy mills, but puppy mills are commercially motivated, large-scale breeding facilities that produce a high volume of puppies for sale, and they're typically characterized by very poor conditions for the animals. And as a result, there's legislature being developed to restrict and put regulation on breeding facilities. But in cases where the legislation has a very broad application, you end up eliminating the ability for smaller individuals or kennels to produce dogs, which is directly applicable to hunting dogs. A lot of small-scale operations are the source of hunting dogs. I was able to find a bill that had been voted down in California that was had such severe wording that it required the mandatory neutering or spading of all dogs over 6 months old unless the breeder had certain state certification and licensing, which would effectively eliminate, like I said, most of your smaller breeding groups. Another topic, I'm sure everybody's really tired of hearing about Michael Vick, but Michael Vick has brought something that's very important into the public eye. Dog fighting, obviously, is a serious thing, and as a result, many states have realized that either they do not have laws on the books that were usable, or they realized that they needed to increase the severity of these laws. A lot of places are upgrading dog fighting to a felony. And one thing that is particularly applicable to hunting with dogs is some states are pushing to change the language from dog fighting to animal fighting, which does have direct implications on hunting with dogs. For the basic, to give examples, this is pretty hard to define, animal fighting. If a Labrador goes to pick up a duck that's been shot, or a duck crippled, and he catches a duck and kills it, is that animal fighting? Is that a felony? Or more realistically, using hard catch dogs to hold a pig stationary, is that considered animal fighting? And our law is to the extent of outlawing hunting with dogs in general. The future direction of hunting with dogs in this country is kind of hard to predict. Anti-hunting organizations have been fairly successful in Europe, and the best example of this is the ban of fox hunting in England. Fox hunting in England was probably the most traditional pastime, that as well as bird hunting. And they were able to effectively outlaw it altogether, which at the time that it was happening seemed ridiculous, that it would be too enrooted in the culture to happen, but it has. And movements like these will certainly impact the community in this country as the... But how it will impact is kind of hard to determine. Dog hunting in general, small faction of the hunting community, as so it's a fairly good starting place for anti-hunting groups to focus on. The impact of this movement, the controversy over hunting with dogs, could either end up outlawing hunting with dogs, or it could serve as a unifying cause to bring a lot of the hunting community together. It's just hard to tell what exactly will happen. There's a lot of people who are defensive over this. There's a lot of people who are really upset that it even exists at all. And it really comes down to personal opinion and what you see as acceptable or unacceptable. Are there any questions?
Have a few minutes for questions?
Yes, sir.
In bear hunting, are the dogs often injured?
Question was, in bear hunting, are the dogs often injured? A lot of that comes down to the individual dog and the individual bear. Like I said, these animals have a tree instinct. It depends on, best case scenario, no. If a houndsman breeds for dogs of an even temperament, obviously you can breed a dog to be pretty aggressive. Dogs that are aggressive, typically, that problem takes care of itself because a bear is a lot more effective than a dog. It comes down to situations. In general, no. There are situations where, like, a very large bear, for the most part, has no interest in trying to get away from a dog. If you've ever seen a dog trail a bear, oftentimes the bear walks along and the dogs just circle it and bark. There's almost no contact made, but it depends on the individual. Anti-hunting groups working with state agencies. The question was, oftentimes there's not a lot of cooperation between anti-hunting interest groups and state agencies that regulate harvest. And I can't think of any.
Right.
I can't think of any. I'd be amazed if there weren't, but in general, and this is a stereotype which may have no value, but in general, a lot of these arguments against dog hunting are especially from the ethical side of, is it should just be outlawed outright. There's probably more cooperation among the folks who have private property, interests or other hunters, of course. But not that I can think of. Anyone else?
All right, let's give Matt a round of applause.